The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Can I be honest with you? This is the fourth time I've started this. One time I got all the way through it and realized I hadn't made a setting right on the computer, so getting back in the swing of things. Well, welcome to the Jerry Godsey Studios here in lovely downtown Yuma. Not really downtown, but, and it's not really a studio, it's the spare bedroom of my house. But hey, I'm calling it a studio because I can. All right, we're going to talk about, I remember this time, we're going to talk about the Apostles' Creed. What is the Apostles' Creed? I'll tell you. So several years ago, a pastor asked his church, what do we believe as Christians? One guy raised his hand and said, we believe the Bible. Pastor said, great, what's the Bible teach? The man kind of thought for a moment and finally said, good stuff. It's honest. It's not real helpful, but it's honest. If someone asks you, what do Christians really believe? You as a Christian, what do you really believe? Could you explain it? Well, that's exactly why the early church came up with the Apostles' Creed. So I call today's message, what's a creed? I was going to call it, what the heck's a creed? But yeah. And didn't want to go that far. So, they came up with the Apostles' Creed so everybody could be on the same sheet of music. So let's read the Apostles' Creed. And I'm going to post this on the I Believe section of the website, and you'll be able to download it and have it. And you'll want to keep that, print it out and keep it. Okay, so what's the creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and rose again. Or excuse me, was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. And before you get crazy, it's not the Catholic Church that you're thinking of today. Catholic here just means universal. So I could have just changed it, but I didn't want to. The Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, what's a creed? The word creed simply means I believe. Comes to the Latin word credo. A creed is simply a summary of Christian belief. Think of it like this. The Bible is the whole library, everything about God. The creed is the table of contents. It doesn't replace Scripture. Oops. It doesn't replace Scripture. It points you to Scripture. You with me? The Apostles' Creed does not replace the Bible. Knowing the Apostles' Creed doesn't mean that you don't have to read your Bible ever again. It just tells you where in the Bible to find what you believe. Or points you to the Bible to say, here's what I believe. Let me show you why. All right? Paul summarized the Apostles' Creed sometimes in short statements. Look at 2 Timothy 1:13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. I came and taught you. Share that with others. Keep that as the pattern of sound teaching. Don't go straying off. See, the early church believed that doctrine matters. What we believe about God matters. Imagine you buy a piece of furniture from IKEA, and you come across the little end of the box where some of the most dreaded words in all of humanity are, "some assembly required." Ugh. You open up the box, you're excited to start. There's like 40,000 screws and a bunch of pieces of panels and stuff, and with names like panel A7 beta. What? What do you immediately start looking for? The instructions. Unless your grandpa, my grandpa, who tried to make stuff up on his own, and he called me one day and he said, "Jerry, get over here." All right, so I drove over to his house. He said, "I'm trying to put this lawnmower together. Help me do it." So I looked, and there on his back porch are all the pieces of a lawnmower spread out all over. And he said, I said, "Well, Grandpa, where are the instructions?" He goes, "I don't need instructions." Well, evidently you do. Finally, we got the instructions and we got it put together. It actually ran. The creed works like assembly instructions for theology. Creed takes theology, the study of God, and says, here's how you put this all together. It helps organize what the Bible teaches. Remember I said, it doesn't replace Scripture, but it points you to Scripture. So, why did the early church need a creed? I got a lot of buttons going on here. Why did the early church need a creed? See, the early church had a flood of false teaching. Remember, it's not like they had a Bible necessarily in their hands to rely on. They had letters that Paul wrote and Peter wrote, they have some of the epistles. The Gospels would come along at a due time, about 30 years after Jesus died. So people kind of stepped in and filled in the gaps. And they said things like, Jesus wasn't really human. He wasn't really God. He didn't actually die. The resurrection never happened. Sound familiar? It should, because there are a lot of morons. I mean, people out there today saying the same thing. I look at these people and say, "Oh, I got a new revelation from God, man." I'm like, I know that the resurrection didn't happen. Jesus is waiting in the tomb for us. No. And you need to put the pipe away and start reading your Bible. Elisa Childers wrote a great book called Deconstructing the Gospel. And she goes into the heresies some of these new people like Rob Bell and some others are doing, where they say, "Well, I'm deconstructing the gospel." No, you're going through and picking out what you don't like. My theology prof at college went to Fuller Seminary. And now Fuller Seminary is pretty classical, but they have parts at Fuller Seminary called textual criticism. Take a piece of the Bible, a verse, and they decide, A, it absolutely belongs, B, I'm not sure it belongs, or C, it doesn't belong. And every single word of Scripture is picked apart like that. And Dr. Wright looked at them and said, "You guys need to quit using a black magic marker as a highlighter in your Bible. Because by the time you're done with all this malarkey," I don't think he said malarkey, he probably just said stuff, "you're not going to be able to pick up the Bible and say, 'Thus saith God.'" And he's right. The church said, "Let's clearly state what the Bible teaches." Good idea, no? None of this stuff, "Well, I was misquoted." I love when politicians say that today. I never said that. Dude, you're on videotape 6 months ago saying the exact same thing. The exact thing. "Well, I was misquoted." It's you saying it. Don't get me started. Jude 1:3 says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write you and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people." Contend for the faith. In other words, protect it, guard it, Know it. Next thing you need to know is the creed is built around the Trinity. Notice the structure. The creed moves through the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it spells out what they did and what they continue to do. This mirrors Jesus' words in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Christian faith is a Trinitarian faith. We believe in what's called a triune God. Now, I've heard all kinds of ways to describe it. Well, it's like an egg. You've got an egg, but really it's the shell, it's the albumen, that's the white yucky stuff, and the yolk. But that's not triune, that's tripartite. If you take the shell off, you've got an egg, but it's not complete. You take the yolk out and the shell out, then you've got egg whites, which I use in my burritos in the morning. Triune. There's God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, one Godhead, we say, one Godhead. And we're going to go into a lot of this deeper as we go, okay, over the coming weeks. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct personalities, if you will. They have different functions, but they're all God. Okay? I can't tell you, I can't explain to you what that fully means. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because I don't want a God I can fully explain. If I could fully explain him, that means I understand everything about him. That means that I know everything about him. And that means he's not mysterious at all. Think about the creed like a three-part story. First of all, in Act 1, the Father creates. Act 2, the Son redeems. And in Act 3, the Spirit transforms. All three persons of the Trinity working together in salvation. We couldn't be saved without God the Father because God the Father sent his Son Jesus to die for us. Couldn't be saved without God the Son because he came and died for our sins and rose again on the third day. We can't be saved without the Holy Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit who compels us to repent and come to know God the Father and God the Son. It works together beautifully. So why does the creed matter to us today? Now, some people say doctrine isn't important, just love Jesus. Okay, the people at Jonestown who swallowed the Kool-Aid and went to their deaths, they didn't worry about doctrine. They just followed what James Jones said. They knew about God, but they didn't know God. Here's the problem. You can't love someone you don't know. And you can't know someone if you don't understand who they really are. Notice I didn't say everything about them. But you got to know who they are, what they stand for. See, truth matters. Beliefs matter. Imagine a guy saying, I love my wife. And then he describes her as 7 foot tall, blonde hair, a professional wrestler named Helga. His friend looks at him and says, it's not your wife. Your wife's 5 foot three, a brunette. She's an elementary school teacher named Sarah. See, you can't just invent a version of someone, call that love. Same is true with God. We have people today that are inventing their own God. They're inventing the God that they think is fair. God is just. God has mercy. God has grace. We need to know what God really says about things, what God really laid out as the truth, because if we don't know God's truth, we can walk the wrong path. Then we start being governed by our feelings. But the problem is, Christianity is not just a feeling. It's truth about God. So when somebody says, well, you know, I have a feeling, I know what the Bible says about this, but I feel like it's different today. Okay. And? See, God's not going to, when you get to heaven and stand before Him, God's not going to say, well, I know you knew right and wrong, but, you know, how did you feel about it? I know you thought adultery was wrong, but really, how'd you feel about it? Okay, if you felt that way, I'm going to change my word and, you know, thousands of years of Christianity, and I'll let you by. Doesn't work that way, Sparky. Christianity is not just a feeling. It's truth about God. The Apostles' Creed helps us understand who God is, what Jesus did, what the Holy Spirit is doing, and where history is going. All of this is wrapped up in this one little document, these few lines of text. Now you see why the creed is so vital for us. Again, it doesn't replace Scripture. It just points us to Scripture that reinforces what we believe, that reinforces what God believes, what God said. So it's a little shorter today than normal, and next week won't be because we got a lot to cover next week. We're going to talk about God the Father next week. But every week, I'm going to give you some discussion questions, some things that you can kind of chew on through the week. Okay? First of all, why do you think Christians today struggle to explain what they believe? Now, I got to be honest with you, that's a trick that we preachers play. Why do you think other people struggle? Because it's easier for us to talk about what we think other people struggle with than to get down and ask brass tacks about what we struggle with. What do they struggle with? And you know, more often than not, when you hear what they say others people struggle with, it's a lot of what they struggle with too. So just be honest. Next, why is clear doctrine important? That's a big one. Why is clear doctrine important? We've gone over some things. Maybe go back and listen to it again. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to really show you why doctrine is important. And finally, which line in the creed stands out most to you? Which of these lines says, wow, okay, I really need to know this. I really need to work on this. Or this makes my heart complete. This reinforces my love for God. It's good stuff. Like I said, next week, not going to get off at a 20-minute, 18-minute message. Next week, we're going to talk about God the Father. And there is a lot there, but I am so excited to teach this series because I really believe it's going to be a point of growth for a lot of you. For me, I enjoy laying this all out. We're all in this together. Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father, that opens up so many things for us. You provide for us. Your Son who died for us, who lived for us. The Holy Spirit that convicts us, that comforts us. God, thank you so much. I pray that as we go through this week, we will become aware of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thanks, God. Thanks. We love you, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. Remember, this will be available after today, or on today, and check it out. Go back and listen to it again. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping, you go back and listen to it again. But go back and listen to it again, and go back over the creed. And once you really know why we have the creed, the rest of this stuff is going to just open up in your hearts. All right? Love you. See you next week.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. Yeah.